Yeah, Lord Jesus, we are so grateful to be here together, brothers and sisters. We're thankful that you're with us. And I just coming up here, the cry of the church, come, Holy Spirit. I know, Spirit, you're in us and among us, but we need you. I need you to speak through me. I pray that you would do that powerfully, that I would say the words you want to hear, want me to say. And that for the folks that are listening, what you want them to hear and how you want them to respond, that you would be just working that out. We love you, God. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. There's a movie, I believe, from the 90s. It's called As Good As It Gets, and I was trying to think which character actually says that. It's not that important, but in this movie, one of the characters, they look at their life and kind of all the problems with it and this and that, and they ask the question, is this as good as it gets? You know, is this as good as life's going to be? And in it, you know, somebody's like, yes, that's the answer. But, you know, today we're going to actually look at a couple characters in Scripture that the answer is no, this isn't as good as it gets, that it actually could be better. That the characters are Zechariah and Mary. But before we kind of dive in with them, I want to talk about names. So, as Reed said, I led a missions organization in China from 1996 to 2020. When I first came into China, there was myself and two other folks, and I was an English teacher, and I taught English at a Chinese university. And my students were amazing, and they were very kind to their very clueless foreign teacher. And I could tell many stories, just kind of how I was clueless about the culture, but save those for another day. But I figured out one of the ways that I was clueless was just how they view names. My eager students, I'd walk into a class, and they'd actually would stand up when I walked in, which was kind of weird but great at the same time, because that's what you do in China to honor your teachers. But they all wanted English names. They weren't given English names. So I, being the good foreign teacher that I was, I prepared a long list of popular English names, and I told them to pick one that sounded nice. And I was met by a chorus of, but what do they mean? And you see, names for my students and for most of the world, they don't just value a name because it sounds good. But for them, their names have a meaning that as soon as it's said, they know what it is. David, it's beloved. That's my name. My name is David, but it's beloved. You know, I think about this. Wouldn't it be great if I went around and say, I'm beloved. And, you know, what's your name? And for so many of them, their names were stories of hope. So for my student, Li Xiaying, it didn't just sound pretty, at least if you're Chinese, it does. But it means summer shadow. It told a story about her birth and the beauty of her birth. Liu Jinling reflected the hopes of her family for her and was literally work hard to be smart, Liu. So that's the parents. You can imagine their hopes for her. Li Shouhai was from a famous Chinese poem, and it meant tackle the sea, Li. And it was be strong enough to face and overcome difficulties. Their names represented hopes. They represented blessings from their grandparents and from their parents. And a lot of thought had gone into them. So my students weren't impressed with me when I said, hey, pick it. It sounds nice. And indeed, when we talk about Zechariah and Mary, we'll notice that God tells them what to name their sons, and he tells them the meanings of their name. The meaning of their name meant a lot to God. And so today, as we look at the text, part of the time I'm actually going to translate the meanings of the names, just to give us a sense that in the original story, the original hearers of this story, this is what they would have taken in. And like my Chinese students, the names just don't sound pretty. They meant something, and those meanings add to the story. So we start out, we could look, if you have a phone or actually old school and you have an actual Bible, it's Luke chapter 1, verses 5 to 20, and it's going to be up here on the screen, and you'll notice I'm going to skip a few parts. Just for the sake of time. But it starts out, in the days of Herod, king of the land of praise, Judea, there was a priest named Yahweh Remembers, Zechariah, of the division of Abijah. And he had a wife from the daughters of Aaron, and her name was God is my promise, Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking blameless in all the commandments and statutes of the Lord. But they had no child, because God is my promise, Elizabeth was barren, and both were advanced in years. Now, while he was serving as priest before God, when his division was on duty, according to the custom of the priesthood, he was chosen by lot to enter the temple of the Lord and burn incense. Yahweh Remembers Zechariah he's an impressive guy. He's not the villain of the story. I think that's important to note. He's a good guy, and he's also a very blessed guy. So being a priest, you don't choose to become a priest. You're born into it, obviously. And so from birth, he's a part of this priestly family, which meant that he's high up on the social food chain. In terms of status and education, and not only that, if he's not wealthy, not all priests were wealthy, I'd guess at least he's doing okay financially. He has a steady job. It's a steady income. And my gut tells me, for a few reasons, that he came from a godly heritage, that he had good, godly parents. And why do I think that? Well, I mean, they were priests. His father was a priest. A few things. It doesn't seem like Zechariah is too high up on the priestly hierarchy, which is a good thing, because the high priests during this time were very corrupt. So he's not up there in kind of the heights of power and all the politics and the corruption. But more than that, the name that his parents give for him, but the wife that they choose for him. Scripture tells us Elizabeth is a woman of great character. So I kind of put all of these things together, and I think he had a heritage. And the blessing that his parents gave him with his name is every time someone calls out his name, it's not Zechariah, it's Yahweh Remembers. How many times in his life was he reminded of that? Yahweh Remembers. Yahweh Remembers. That Yahweh hasn't forgotten his people. So Yahweh Remembers, Zechariah, and God is my promise, Elizabeth. They're the PKs, the pastor kids, for their day. Any pastor kids here? There's a few of us, right? I'm not, but for centuries, their ancestors are in full-time ministry. And maybe most of us can't relate to that, but in many other ways, you might be able to relate to their story. Zechariah, like many of us, like I said, I think was given the gift of having parents who loved God. Again, I'm going to go out on a limb and say I think Zechariah's parents loved God. And again, I'm sure, like most, if not all of us, Zechariah and Elizabeth, they faced economic pressures. But I think, like I said, they did okay financially. And guess what? The median global household income is under $3,000 a year. So that means half the people in the world make less than $3,000 a year. I think most of us in that context are also doing okay financially. As a priest, Zechariah was the college educated of the day. I graduated from the Harvard of the Willamette Valley, University of Oregon. I think many of us, we've had the chance, at the very least, to have a quality high school education, many of us in college. I think they had a good marriage. And again, I think many of us can say that. I think that they loved God, not just with his outward morality, but people who inside had God's beauty, his kindness, his joy. Again, as there describes, these are people that are on. Reed, you called me an interesting dude. Well, I took it out, but I'm going to add it. Zechariah was a righteous dude. Ferris Bueller's Day Off, right? So I'm dating myself. But, you know, I think also, though, like us, their life had major challenges. And one thing that I always want to say when I talk about God to young people and old is God is good. He wants us to thrive. He has a purpose. There's a place that he wants us to go to be with him in eternity. But in this life, we sometimes experience horrible and terrible things, period. All of us, if we live this life very long, we've gone through some horrible stuff. So it's not a matter of, wow, I thought I'm a Christian. I thought I would never have to suffer. And now I am. And I guess God's not real. It's like, well, if anybody ever sold you that bill of goods, it's a bill of goods. And so for them, what the thing that they're facing in the text, it's barrenness. And I know many of my friends in the West that they've dealt with being barren. And that's a horrible and a terrible thing. And I mean, and miscarriages oftentimes are these hopes, and they just want to have a child. And we, some of us probably in here, you might have faced that. This is real. But for them, even more for them, they live in a culture, in a society that said, this is divine punishment. I mean, isn't that horrible? You're suffering and you go through that. My own story. I've in the mission field, I had two major emotional mental breakdowns. And to the church's credit, they loved me and they supported me, and I am thankful for antidepressants. They have turned my life around. But I know that there's some people out there, even in the church, that would look down upon me or judge me. And I kind of like, well, God bless you as you think that. But I'm really glad when I was suffering that I didn't face that. But Elizabeth, Zechariah, they did. What a horrible thing. that they had to face. Like you and I, I'm sure when they are faced with these challenges that they prayed, I'm sure they prayed a lot. I'm sure they asked other people to pray with them. But to no avail. What do you do? Oy vey. You know, what do you do? Well, you make the best of it, right? And that's what Zechariah, and I think Zechariah, he's like, well, I had a good life, a good wife, who's often come together, right? And as this story starts for him, I think he thinks about, it's like, okay, the pinnacle of my priestly career is about to happen. In some ways, the pinnacle of my life. There are so many priests. You get one shot if you're not the high priest. You're chosen by lot, and if you're lucky, you get to go in to the holy place, not the holy of holies, but the holy place, and you get to burn incense, and you get to do that once. And I think as he goes there in the morning to do this, if he thought about it, it's like, yeah, this is as good as it gets for me. Now, there's another character. Verse 26 and 27. In the sixth month, the angel, God's mighty one, Gabriel, was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Bitterness. That is the meaning of Mary. She's in sharp contrast with Zechariah. She's in sharp contrast to Yahweh Remembers. Yahweh Remembers is born in a society that values age, values being male, values being married, values education, values being well off financially. He comes from a godly family. Bitterness is young. She's female. She's probably not educated. She's single, although engaged. Probably not doing well financially because for most folks of the day, they're not. She doesn't have an impressive family background. In fact, her family doesn't even get mentioned. Her parents, when faced with life, instead of giving her a name of blessing, they chose to name her Bitterness. What kind of life would you have to live to name your kid Bitterness? Well, why? Well, because life was very tough. This was a hard time to be Jewish. Your land is conquered by the Romans. Politically, there's a lot of corruption. There's dysfunction. Taxes are very high. You're probably barely making it. And so her family probably had a very hard time. So every day of Mary's life, she is being reminded of the challenges of life as her friends and her family call her Bitterness. 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 Again, I think many of us can relate to this part of Mary's story. Maybe you don't come from that great of a family. Some of us do, but not all of us. I'm grateful for my family. I grew up in a Christian family, but my wife, Joy, who's not able to be here, but she's actually in Vietnam right now. She was a PK and an MK. I felt like a peasant marrying into royalty when I married her family. I kid you not. Her family's full of pastors and missionaries. They have all these stories of mighty miracles. Blind people literally receiving sight when they prayed for them. Her dad prayed for a dead woman. There were maggots coming out of her stomach. and she got resurrected. She has family members that I reckon that led thousands to the Lord. My family's actually loaded with a lot of non-traditional MKs. Do you know what a non-traditional MK is? I'd be a moonshiner kid. It's true. My great-grandfather and his sons, my grandfather, my great-uncles, they made moonshine in the backwoods of Tennessee during Prohibition. So, yeah, a little bit different than my wife's background. My extended family had alcoholics, womanizers, people in insane asylums, and half-outlaws. Not a lot of pastors or missionaries in my family tree. Or maybe you don't feel like you've had a great education. I mean, some of us have to go to OSU, you know. So maybe you're struggling really bad financially, right? It's like, well, that's great, 3,000 median, but, you know, maybe these places it doesn't cost so much to feed oneself. Maybe we go online and everybody seems to be killing it. But not you. I'm not as beautiful. I'm not as smart. I'm not as successful or creative. Maybe we don't have a happy family. Maybe you're single and you really want to be married. So if Zachariah and Elizabeth represents the side of folks that were given a good start, if it represents the blessings that we have in life, bitterness, she's the other side. And I love so much that both sides are represented in the story. So I want to take us back to Yahweh Remembers Zachariah. That's going to be verse 11. And I am going to, again, skip around a little bit. So, and there appeared to Zechariah an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. So he's burning the incense, sees this angel. The angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Yahweh remembers, for your prayer has been heard, and your wife, God is my promise, will bear you a son, and you shall call his name Yahweh is gracious, John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great before the Lord." Zechariah maybe wishes it could have ended there, but it doesn't. We go on to verse 18. And Yahweh remembers, said to the angel, "How shall I know this? For I'm an old man, and my wife is advanced in years." And he said this to the wrong angel, because the angel answered him, "I am God's mighty one. I stand in the presence of God. And I was sent to speak to you and to bring you this good news. And behold, you will be silent and unable to speak until the day that these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their time." There is so much irony in this story. Zechariah's name means Yahweh remembers. He's married to God is my promise. He's surrounded with these promises. And he has prayed many prayers asking God to give them a child. And then this angel shows up, and it's a terrifying angel probably, and says, "God has heard your prayers." It said God heard your prayer. To me it could be a couple things. It could be like, yeah, I prayed that prayer this morning, but I had no hope whatsoever that was going to happen. I just kind of pray that. I've heard of people that sometimes pray prayers like that, you know. Or I think maybe even more likely it was like, yeah, I stopped praying that prayer 10 years ago. Well, most of our prayers don't have expiry dates on them. Isn't that great? Prayers that maybe you prayed 10, 20 years ago, they haven't expired. And Gabriel's like, God's heard your prayer. And he is going to give you a son named Yahweh is gracious. He is going to give you a son. Yahweh gives you favor you don't deserve. Faith and hope are choices. Zechariah, Yahweh remembers, has a lot of things going his way that would have helped enable him to choose faith, and he still didn't. Right? And again, he's not a bad guy. It says he's a righteous dude. But he looks at the natural situation, and he looks at the time that he had to wait. And it's Elizabeth and I are old, and we're past our primed, and we've already prayed for years over this, and our hearts have been disappointed, and we wished for this for a long time, and it never happened. So how do I know that this possibly could be true? And we're back to Mary, verse 30. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, bitterness, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Yahweh Saves, Jesus. He will be great and will be called Son of the Most High." And 34, and bitterness said to the angel, "How will this be since I'm a virgin?" It seems like Zechariah is like, "Hey, I don't know, prove it. I'm not seeing this." And she's more like, "Well, you got my curiosity. You know, I believe it. I just don't, how in the world are you going to pull that off, God?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God." And bitterness said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. There are a lot of Zacharias in the church today. And I'll be honest, I think I relate more to Zechariah than Mary. And that's probably on a good day, right? Again, I think he's a good guy. He's a true lover of God. I think we would like him. I can relate to him. This is a very pertinent story for me. So if you're in the middle of a God dream and you're like, how in the world could God possibly do this through me? And you want encouraged by that, I'm your man. For 23 and a half years in China, I got to do something amazing. It was incredible. And I saw many miracles. And I saw God took a Yahoo that was a part of InterVarsity Christian Fellowship, but wasn't on the high track of fast track of leading, was not culturally versed in Chinese culture. And I saw him, through this dude, plant a thriving missionary agency that reached hundreds, maybe thousands of Chinese people throughout Northwest China. But that was 5 years ago. That ended when I was 52. I'm 57 now. Was that as good as it gets, right? Is that, I mean, I look at that and a part of me, it's like, well, God, man, if that's as good as it gets, hey, I'll die happy, right? I didn't deserve that. That was grace to me that I got to be a part of that. I think that's Zechariah. It's like, yeah, well, Lord, yeah, it was a good life. But, you know, yeah, a lot of things that I thought were going to happen and dreams, yeah, then so I'll just kind of settle, you know. Besides, I'm old, right? Zechariah's old. I'm not old. I'm only 57, right? No. 57 used to be really old, but no, I mean, right? Like I want to be really careful. There's nothing wrong with owning an RV. If you own an RV, I'm not judging you at all. But I think some people, it's like, man, I get old in life and it's as good as it gets. So now I just jump in my RV and I travel around the world. And there's nothing wrong with that. Again, my point isn't the RV. My point is my best is in the rear mirror. Would Zechariah, when he was a younger man, would he have been as good of a father to John? I don't think so. Like he's going to be the father to, I think, well, Jesus is like, this is the greatest prophet man's ever known. It's the herald of Jesus. It's the preparer. And it's like, yeah, you know, Zechariah, you couldn't have done that when you were 30 or 40 or 50. You know, I mean, I'm not sure how old, but when are you really sure? Me and my wife can't have a kid anymore. 60, 65, 70. I don't know. He's pretty old. Yet that was the time. Right? Faithfulness. Hope is a choice. If you feel like God has given you a God dream, that he spoke this to you, and it's like, but yeah, no, it didn't happen. Brothers and sisters, that's just the story of, that's just a good Bible story. It always happens that way. Give me a God dream in Scripture that didn't die. David, you're going to be king. Well, now you're chased around. Moses had a sense of being a great leader, and he spent 40 years in Midian with sheep. Give me a God dream that didn't seem to die. So I think there's that. And I want to touch on Mary too, because again, I love Zechariah. It's like Zechariah's older, and he just barely got started. It wasn't as good as it gets. He thought this was the pinnacle, and it's like, man, this is just the beginning. You're going to help raise the greatest prophet ever known to humanity. Doesn't matter how old you are. And Mary, what, she's 16, 15, 17? And she doesn't have all of these advantages. But I think she has this relationship with God. She's ready to go. Xavier, I believe it is, he talked about his fellas. And he said, we're like this. We're like 1 foot up. And why are you 1 foot up? Because when God calls, we're ready to go. And so if you're sitting there, if you're younger or if you're older, if it's like, well, I don't have a God dream. I don't have this great purpose in life. I'll be honest with you. I think sometimes in our journey, it's like that. I've spent years in Midian before where you're just waiting. But I'll also be honest with you. I don't think we're meant to live our entire life that way. And we have a good God that created us to have a huge impact on this world because he's good and he's kind and he works through human beings. I'll be really honest with you. I'm like, God, if I was you, Balaam's ass, I think he nailed it. You know, or having the rocks cry out, I'd be like, let the rocks and the animals do your work. Don't involve us human beings. But in his generosity, he doesn't do that. So if you're sitting there and say, I'm too young, or I don't have this, or I don't have that, hey, you're super qualified. Chinese is a tonal language. I didn't even know that that was until 2 weeks before I went to China. Ma, 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 ma. Four distinct words. When I learned that, my jaw dropped, and it was like, you've got to be kidding me. There is such a thing in tonal languages, and you just said the exact same thing. I was not an ideal missionary. You've heard of false modesty? Well, there's also honest modesty. This is honest modesty. The thing I had going for me is I said yes, period. I said yes. So if you're sitting there, I'm this or I'm that, it don't matter. So I just want to encourage, we live in interesting times. We live in a world that, and in a nation that, I don't care where you fall in the spectrum. I don't talk to anybody. It's like, I'm just so encouraged. Boy, I read the newspaper and man, I just feel hopeful and joyful and loving. And it's just the fruit of the Spirit just kind of just wraps over me when I. It ain't that. What this world needs is people that have said to God, Lord, give me your dreams. Use me. And if they've said that, if he said that, to say, all right, God, I'm ready. The high school, middle schools in our neighborhood, they need people like you. The refugees, the poor, the marginalized, your neighbors. I don't know you very well, but I know you enough. I would wish you upon your neighbors because I love your neighbors. And I would be like, oh man, if these people invest in these neighborhoods, oh, that's going to be a good thing. I would wish you upon the children of this county. I would wish that, yeah, these guys with God dreams, with hope, with faith, can do mighty things. And if you don't believe me, I'm sorry. It's just life lived and scripture read. So I want to encourage you to hope, to have faith, to be countercultural, and I just want to encourage you, it is exactly what our society needs. Whatever president, that's not exactly what we need. President Trump, President Biden, that's not exactly what we need. But the love, the faith, the hope of Jesus Christ, that is exactly what we need. And you are called, my brothers and sisters, to be a part of that. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I thank you so much that you consistently use yahoos in your scripture and out to do amazing things. I thank you that as you call people that are unequipped and aren't ready to do that fully, that you walk alongside of them when they stumble and when they do well. I thank you that you bless us as we're a blessing to the world around us. And in Jesus' name, I pray for this people, for this family, that they would be a blessing. I pray that you would, even now, that you would be resurrecting God dreams that you've given some of the folks here that maybe even 10, 15, 20 years ago, they laid it aside, that you would resurrect that up, that you would give them faith. I pray, Lord, that you would give people your dreams, your God dreams, that they would have the hope and faith in you to wait, to be patient, and to see them in fruition. And it's your precious name, Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen.